Funding for The Front Row on Texas Tech Public Radio comes from the Helen Jones Foundation and from Citibank. Citibank's award-winning app delivers features that are redefining mobile banking, like the ability to turn your debit card off if it's ever lost or stolen, and the ability to raise ATM and spending limits. More information is at citibankonline.com. Citibank, member FDIC. Support also comes from Texas Tech's JT and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. See the stars of tomorrow on the stage today. Texas Tech's JT and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Explore, dream, discover. And from Lubbock's Cultural District, always creative, never flat. More information is available at lubbockculturaldistrict.org. The Texas Tech University Institute for Western Civilization presents an annual lectureship series. Dr. Stephen Balch is director of the Institute, and he dropped by our studios with guest lecturer Dr. Christian Kopp. On today's edition of The Front Row, we're visiting in our studios here at Texas Tech Public Media with Dr. Stephen Balch, who is the director of the Institute of Western Civilization here at Texas Tech University, and a very special guest, Dr. Christian Kopp, who is here to give a lecture under the auspices of Dr. Balch's program. Welcome to you both. Thank you very, very much for being with us today.
Great to be here in Texas.
Great. Dr. Balch, tell us, for folks who may not know, tell us a little bit about your institute and what purpose that it has as part of the university.
So the Institute for the Study of Western Civilization, now going into its sixth year at Texas Tech, is meant to focus the attention of the academic community on the big questions that define our civilization, on its nature, origin, and future. Most people at a university, for a very good reason, specialize. We try to bring things together to be synthetic. I think there's great value in doing that, and part of our program is to bring in speakers who can address those big questions, and part of our program is to bring students to some of the great peak achievements of Western civilization, often which bring together a variety of art forms and talents. And so when we're not bringing in lecturers, we are, among other things, taking students to opera performances. So we are kind of intellectual generalists in a world of specialization. I think a world of specialization needs that kind of thing. And with Professor Kopp, who we're bringing to speak here, we are engaging some of those big questions about the nature of the American Republic and its place in Western civilization.
Well, let me bring in Dr. Kopp to the conversation. By the way, welcome to Texas Tech and welcome to Lubbock. We're happy that you're here.
It's great to be here.
You've written a book called The Devil Knows Latin, Why America Needs the Classical Tradition. It says, widely cited in the new classical education movement. For people who are outside of the academy, what is the new classical education movement?
Well, the gold standard for education for most of Europe and America from the Reformation and Renaissance through the early 20th century was classical education. It involved the seven liberal arts, involved studying Greek and Latin, involved studying the ancient past. In the 1960s, this went away and progressive education became the norm for teaching, especially in public schools, but also in other schools. And we saw in connection with that, I don't say we can prove it caused it, but we saw in connection with it, substantial drops in SAT scores, especially verbal, reaching a low point about 1980. And about 1980, a number of people got together and partly on their own and partly reading a great essay by Dorothy Sayers, the mystery writer and translator of Dante called The Lost Tools of Learning, said, maybe it's time to try what used to work. C.S. Lewis said somewhere that when you've taken the wrong path, the progressive thing to do is to turn around and go back to the right path. So we decided to do the progressive thing, which is turn around and go back to the right path, try and restructure and recreate the classical education that gave us the great minds of the Renaissance, that gave us Luther and Calvin, They gave us the American founders, all these fantastic figures who had great educations. And it started in little places. There was a pastor in Moscow, Idaho, Douglas Wilson, who started his school. And over the decades, school by school, some of them are parochial schools, some of them are private. But now, because of the charter movement, there are many classical charters in public schools. And of course, homeschoolers are another big source. People have gone back to the idea of the seven liberal arts, of studying our ancient past, and of studying especially Latin.
You gave us a lecture yesterday evening here at Texas Tech University called Inspired by Liberty and Virtue, the Classical Education of the American Founders. We don't have to worry about giving away the store because the lecture was last night. Tell us a little bit about that lecture and about classical education in our own country.
Well, there are two ways to go at explaining what classical education was doing. Because I wanted to have an attractive title, I talked about liberty and virtue because that was the goal. The goal was when you got through the process of classical education and you then were a person able to participate in the life of your society, both as an active creator and as a citizen. And citizenship is very important. I did mention that I have a friend at Hillsdale College who teaches history there, Terence Moore, who once described classical education as Latin and the rod. That's the methodology which the founders dealt with. Of course, you like to emphasize the goal, the happy goal, but it does involve challenging subjects, involves dead languages, and in the good old days, it involved if boys misbehave, they would be punished. Dr. Johnson, who lived at the same time as the founders, said notoriously, boys are spanked now less, but they learn less. What they gained at one end, they lost at the other. That's not a topic I prefer to pursue, because the context of the real content of classical education, taking the past seriously, getting in touch with it, knowing the great figures who shaped our views and gave us the vocabulary for science, politics, philosophy, consensual institutions. Knowing this is necessary for continuing those traditions. One of the things that Dr. Freud got right, I don't know if he got everything right, but he got right was you need to be able to tell your own story. And if you start stumbling and stuttering and, gee, I can't remember that, there's probably a problem. It may not be the problem. He had the same problem. Everybody had the same problem for him. But still, there's a problem if you can't tell your own story. Well, you also need to be able to tell the story of your country and tell the story of your civilization. And that's what classical education gives to its students and honestly also gives to its teachers. Because instead of entertaining students and keeping them amused, you are giving them a challenging curriculum that makes them better and that makes you feel good about yourself as a teacher.
Do you think that the loss of the classics in education, as you had described earlier, as education sort of devolved, do you think that that had a significant impact on liberty and virtue?
Yes. The premise of the talk is that it has had a significant effect. That when people started out, and this doesn't mean that everybody was perfectly ethical and moral, as we've all learned, all human beings do things they're not supposed to do at one stage or another. But the one thing that the founders understood, and was understood by earlier generations too, the Englishmen of the 17th century, the Protestant reformers, the great Renaissance figures, even going back to Dante and Thomas Aquinas, is that you need to have active, honest people involved as citizens or even involved as subjects, if it's a monarchy in the Middle Ages, because you have to be able to trust them and they have to be challenged to be the best they can be. And when you tell people, it's one thing to say you have a human right to be a citizen, but it involves virtue. You've got to work at it. It's another thing to think you have a human right to do whatever you want to do. And even back in the ancient world, Aristotle talks about that. He says there's a problem with oligarchy. People think just because their father was important, they deserve to be. But there's also a problem with democracy. The people think democracy is majority rule and doing what you want to do. And on the contrary, democracy takes just as much discipline, just as much education, and just as much commitment to excellence as any other form of government. And of course, Aristotle lived in the Athenian democracy, so you know exactly what he was talking about. And those words are just as relevant today as when Aristotle wrote them. And what we see what happens when people think that merely winning is enough. And you don't have to, appealing to people's, I hate to say it, baser, if not basest instincts, instead of telling people, excuse me, before you have rights, you also have duties. And you have to, your challenge as a citizen is to live up to those duties. And classical education is the best education for that because it's premised on teaching that. What you do is to develop yourself as an individual, that's great. But you're also a member of a family, a community, if you're a believer, a congregation. And what you do there involves duties, and your rights are the other side of their duties. Your rights are the right to live your duty, to live your life as a citizen and as a creative and contributing member of your family, your community, and your nation.
Have you come up with a methodology by which this should be reintroduced into our educational process, outside of just saying, learn the classics?
Well, I would. What we've seen over the, now we've been around for more than a generation in its current form. And by the way, American education was classical education for most of American history. And there were even people, I was lucky enough, or my friends thought I was unlucky enough, to go to a school on Long Island, St. Paul's School in Garden City, it still had a classical education in the 1960s. And its good old headmaster was not going to change just because other people were changing. So I actually experienced the earlier stages, the stage that was known by earlier generations, in fact, earlier centuries of Americans. What we have now is a new group. They are people who are reviving it. You can find them all over the place. As I've said, many of them will be in parochial schools or in private schools. But because of the charter school movement, there are also classical charters. And so especially in the West, where it's a lot easier to get a charter. In the East, it's tend to be viewed that charters should be for people whose schools are obviously bad, inner city and things like that. But here in the West, people often get permission to do charters. There are public schools where you can have a specific curriculum. That's what a charter is. And so we find classical schools everywhere. The point is to go looking for them. And by the way, if you want to be a homeschooler, there are fantastic homeschooling programs for which are classical. The majority, though by no means overwhelming majority of homeschoolers are classically educating their kids. So there are a lot of ways to get involved. What we need to do is persuade more people in the mainstream educational establishment that this should be a definite option for every American. And those who don't want it, that's terrific. But those who do want it should have the chance to have it because it's worked so well in the past. And there's a lot of indications it's working well now.
Dr. Kopp, thank you very, very much. Dr. Stephen Balch, you brought a very remarkable guest to your Institute for Western Civilization.
That's our track record.
The lecture itself on at the university was actually last night, but I understand that you have a full schedule for him in the next couple of days.
That's right. He'll be going up on November 9th to West Texas A&M in the Canyon and speaking there in the evening. He'll be also appearing at All Saints Episcopal School. I believe that will take place at 9:00 in the morning. And he will be talking to a variety of graduate students and undergraduates in the interim. So we're going to make very good use of this time.
Wonderful. Well, Stephen Balch, Christian Kopp, thank you both very, very much for being on the front row today.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Thanks for having us.
More information on events at the Texas Tech Institute for Western Civilization is at depts.ttu.edu/westernciv. This episode of our program will be up on our website, kttz.org, later today. Rachel Boyd is producer of The Front Row. Thanks for listening. I'm Clint Barrick.